This morning I wanted to finish up a little something that that I wasn't able to, and it's along the same lines that we've been talking about, and that has to do with the preparation or the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And this morning we spoke about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in preparing the world to receive Jesus. And we looked at the nativity story, and the story connected with the birth of Jesus, the announcement to Mary and Joseph, and the announcement to Zacharias and Elizabeth about John the Baptist. And we saw that the Holy Spirit had a large part to play in all of that, put it mildly. And then we considered Simeon and Anna, and how Simeon was led by the Spirit, and it was revealed to him by the Spirit that he shouldn't die before he saw the Lord's Christ. And so, particularly there at the beginning of the New Testament, we saw that the Holy Spirit was very involved in preparing the way for Jesus to come into the world, working in hearts, and finding people that would obey him and trust him and yield themselves to him. And that was essential. It had to be the work of the Holy Ghost. It couldn't have happened any other way. And then we spoke about that wonderful ministry of John the Baptist, that he had two messages that he emphasized. One was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the second message was, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not able to untie. And he says, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And this was the message that John proclaimed right at the start of this gospel age. And I thought that was an interesting subject to take up, and I was blessed as I was preparing that, and in a new way was impressed with the ministry of the Holy Ghost at that time. But then I thought, well, let's bring it closer to home. What about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in preparing a person's heart to receive Jesus? That's in some ways even more important, to consider the ministry of the Holy Spirit in preparing the heart to receive Jesus. Praise God. Nobody can receive Jesus apart from the ministering power of the Holy Ghost. And there are so many ways in which the Lord prepares our hearts and enables us to receive light and faith and grace to repent and lay hold. But let's just look at a few of them. First of all, let's turn to John 16, okay? And we'll read verse 8 and 9, and then we'll jump over to the book of Acts. Tonight's our prayer night, and we'll be going to prayer shortly. This ought not to take very long. But I wanted to move on to something more tomorrow, and so I wanted to kind of finish this thought up with us. John 16, and verses 8 and 9. And if you have it, you can read it for me, please, if you'd be so kind. And when he has come, who would like to help? Please, thank you. And you can continue, please, okay? The next two verses. That'd be good.
Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged.
Okay, here Jesus is speaking about the coming of the Holy Spirit, and he says, when he shall come, he will convict the world of sin. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 37, okay? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Okay, just a few pages away. And verse 37. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples were filled with the Holy Ghost, and quite a crowd gathered. And so Peter stood up and preached to the crowd. And in verse 37, it says, who has it? Deborah, do you have that, please? Thank you.
When the people heard this,
okay. They were cut to the heart. And the King James says that they were pricked in their heart. In other words, the preaching of Peter went right into their hearts, and and made them very conscious of their guilt, the guilt of their sin before God. That's conviction. The conviction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes us to see that we're absolutely lost and in need of a Savior. It doesn't pay to try to convince somebody of that yourself, because you can't really do it. But it's the work of the Holy Ghost. He will convince the world of sin. And perhaps you remember when the Lord began to do that in your own life. You know, you didn't have to live a wicked life out in the world to realize that you were a sinner. Maybe you grew up in a Christian home and you went to church and you were a good boy or a good girl growing up. But still, your heart was infected by sin, and you were lost, and you needed to have know Christ as your Savior. And the Holy Spirit began to bring that conviction into your life. I remember times when that took place in my life. I just began to feel unclean. I began to feel guilty before God. I began to feel that I was undone in some way. And when I heard the preaching of the Word of God, when I was in the presence of God, I began to sense that conviction come over me, and I got troubled about my condition. I wanted to do something about it. I didn't want to stay like that. I began to pray. I began to reach out to God. That's what conviction does. It touches the heart, and it stirs you up, and it makes you to see that you're in need, and it causes you to reach out to Jesus and to deal with Him about your lost estate. Praise God. And we need that. We've heard wonderful stories about people like Charles Finney, who had such a power of the Holy Ghost upon his life that when he preached, conviction came over the whole city where he was preaching. They began to shut down the bars and so on, because nobody wanted to go drink and carouse anymore, because there was such a spirit of conviction that came over that place. I remember hearing a story about Smith Wigglesworth, and he was on a cruise ship. He was going across the ocean to minister somewhere, and they were having entertainment night on the cruise ship, and they asked him if he wanted to participate, maybe sing a song or something like that. Well, maybe they didn't know who he was, maybe they did, I don't know. But he said, well, okay, but may I just ask to have one request, that I'll be the first one on the list. and so that's what he did. They allowed him to be first. And I don't remember if it was it that he sang a song or spoke some words, but by the time he was done, conviction, the power, a spirit of conviction came over that whole ship, everyone on it, and people began to get to their knees and began to cry out to God, and entertainment night was over. But something much better came that night. And I often think, Lord, we need more of that. We need more of the conviction of the Holy Ghost. In our churches, and in our church, I often pray, Lord, let the Spirit of God be like a cloud of conviction over us, that people that are sinners that come to church won't be comfortable. I don't like it when people live in sin and they can't wait to see you next week in church, but they have no intention of changing their life. Something's wrong. We need God to bring conviction. And I know that as a preacher, I'm not supposed to just beat people over the head and tell them about all their sins every time they come to church. That doesn't do any good. That just gets people angry or discouraged or under condemnation. But as we preach the truth of the Word of God, as He leads us, the Spirit of God can move upon the hearts of people. And so it takes the Holy Ghost to prepare your heart to receive Jesus. He's the one that has to bring conviction into your life. And when God does, you ought to thank Him for that. You ought to say, Lord, now help me to respond. Don't feel condemned because God shows you your need, shows you your guilt. But God has provided a remedy in Jesus Christ, and we can come to Him with all of our sin, and we can just pour out our hearts to Him in repentance, and we'll find that conviction will lift, and God will come and minister to us and encourage us and bring us into the salvation that He has purchased for us. And so We need to pray for that. Lord, in my life, so fill me with the Holy Ghost that when I minister to others, that it won't just be words that they hear, but that the Spirit of God will work in their heart. And conviction for sin, and then, of course, God wants to stir people in other ways in helping them to serve the Lord. And so that's one way in which the Holy Ghost prepares our heart to receive Christ. He makes us, first of all, to see our need. And we certainly saw that mightily manifest in the ministry of John the Baptist. He ministered in the power of the Holy Ghost, and crowds of people, hundreds of people, came under conviction and realized that they were lost and they needed a Savior. And so they stepped into those waters of baptism, confessing their sins. Okay, let's turn to Acts chapter 4 now, and we'll look at verse 13 and 31. In Acts chapter 4, the Word of God is continuing to be preached by His Spirit-filled believers. And in Acts 4:13, anyone on the couch over there want to read? Bethany, good.
When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus.
Okay, good. Let's wait there for a moment. In chapter, in verse 10 or verse 8, it talks about Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, began to preach and speak to these people the word that God had given him. Be it known unto you all, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. And he goes on quoting scripture. And when they heard Peter preach, and they saw that this was something supernatural. He wasn't a highly educated person, and he had such boldness. He was fearless in his preaching. They realized that they had been with Jesus, and that Spirit of Christ was upon them, and so there was anointing upon the preaching, and people took notice that the touch of God was upon the words that they were speaking. Let's look at that 31st verse also. Can you read that too, Bethany, please?
After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly.
Okay. There again, you'll notice a number of times in the book of Acts it speaks about the same people being filled with the Holy Spirit again and again. And now here was an anointing that came upon them to preach the word of God boldly. And so there's that anointing upon the ministering of God's word that helps to prepare hearts to receive Christ. We come under anointed preaching. We recognize that God is speaking to us. Yes, there's the conviction of sin, but there's also a recognition that God is speaking. How many meetings have you been in, or how often has it been the case that you have been listening to the preaching, and the minister was speaking right to your heart, maybe answering questions that you had, or addressing a need in your life that he knew nothing about. I remember as a teenager, I used to have a friend named Bill, and he loved the Lord, and we used to spend a lot of time together. And in our church, we used to have prayer meeting on Saturday night out in the Assembly of God Church. And so Bill and I would go to prayer meeting, and then we'd maybe go get a soda or something. We'd sit in the car and talk. And, you know, we talked about all the things that were happening in our life. From girls, that wasn't happening too much, but to anything. And then we go to church Sunday morning. And almost every Sunday morning, somewhere along the way, me and Bill would have to look at each other because the preacher was talking about the exact same things that we were talking about in the car the night before. And that happened so often. Not just general things, but very specifically, he was touching upon things that we had been discussing. And we recognized that. And of course, we knew that Pastor Rayner wasn't in the back seat, and we checked the car for bugging devices, and we didn't find anything there like that. And then we just had to come to the conclusion that was the Lord. That was the Lord speaking to us, showing us that he's interested in us, and and drawing us to himself. And so when there's preaching under the anointing, when we speak under the anointing, we have no idea what God is doing with that in the heart of those that are hearing it, and the encouragement they may be receiving, or the correction, or whatever. Now let's look at Acts 5:12. I've just got a couple more, and I know I'm moving quickly, but we need to do that tonight. So, Acts 5:12. Anybody else want to read that? Sister Rachel, thank you.
And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch.
Okay. Throughout the book of Acts, you see that God, by the Holy Spirit, performed miracles, miracles of healing, miracles of deliverance through the apostles, first of all, but it wasn't limited to the apostles. We see others that God had filled and used in wonderful ways to bring help to the suffering soul. And of course, when word got out that Peter prayed and this person who had been lame since birth was now up and walking, or this person was blind since birth and now was able to see, that certainly got them interested in their message. We've had wonderful testimonies, especially in the earlier days, and I'm praying that God will do it again for us. But there's so many people in the Ridgewood Church years ago that families came to the Lord because someone in their family got healed of cancer and went back home and told them what Jesus had done for them. And there was no disputing the evidence. They were healed. The cancer was gone. It was confirmed by the doctors. And these people then started to come to church to find out what this is all about. And we see that throughout the book of Acts, that as the Holy Spirit performed miracles of healing and so on, it served as an advertisement to the gospel to awake people's interest in Christ and in his love and in the help that he had for them. And so often we see that. They tell us years ago about a brother Burton and Salter who ministered in Africa. And they went to a village in Africa, and Brother Edwin used to tell the story. I wish I paid closer attention to it so I could give you more details. But there was a man that was in that village that was crippled all his life, and everybody knew him. And one of the brothers laid hands on him and prayed for him, and God miraculously healed him. And everybody in the village, of course, was astonished when they saw the power of God manifested that way. And this man was known in many different places, and he began to travel with these two brethren, and wherever they went to preach the gospel, he stood there and he testified of what God had done in his life, and people that knew him could not deny the miracle and the power of God that set that man free. And so signs and wonders performed by the Holy Ghost often used to draw people's hearts to the Lord and to open them up to God's call over their life. Here's an interesting one. Let's turn to Acts chapter 10, and then we'll jump over to 16. Praise God. Acts chapter 10. Okay, 10:19. Minnie, please. Yeah, sure.
Sorry.
Thank you. Acts 10:19.
While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you."
Is there more to that? Read the next verse.
"Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them."
Okay, thank you. That was good. Okay, Peter has a vision. He's up on top of his house there, and the house that he's staying at, and he has this vision of a sheet coming down from heaven three times with all these unclean animals and the Lord telling him to kill and eat. And so on. You know that story? And, of course, the sheet coming down three times seemed to have something to do with three men coming to his house. And so after the vision was done, these three men knocked on the door, and the Spirit told Peter, "Go with these three men. I have sent them." Now let's turn to Acts chapter 16. And just here's another. There's many others, I'm sure. I wasn't not trying to find all of them, but Acts 16, verse 6 through 9.
Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not.
Keep going, please.
And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas.
One more.
Night.
Yes, please.
And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us.
Okay, and
after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them.
Okay, very good. It's a very strange verses to us, because strange for us to read about the Holy Spirit forbidding them to go preach the gospel somewhere. But you know, God has a time when people are prepared to receive the gospel, and so he directs his servants to those who are ready, and we see that as we consider how the Holy Spirit led the early disciples, particularly the Apostle Paul, but others of them. We read here, the Lord told us not to go here, but then he told us to go here. Now was the time. Now they're ready. Just like the Spirit spoke to Peter and said, Peter, go with these people. They're ready to receive the gospel. God had been working in Cornelius and his household, and now they were ready to hear the word of God. And as you read the story, you see how quick they were to respond and were filled with the Holy Ghost as Peter ministered the word of God to them. And here Paul now goes to Macedonia, and there he finds people that are hungry for God and ready to receive the gospel. Later on, the Holy Spirit allows Paul to go to these other regions, but it wasn't time yet. You know, people waste a lot of time trying to deal with people that are not ready to receive the gospel when they could be dealing with someone whom God has prepared. And so it's so important to be led by the Holy Ghost in these matters. Lord, lead us to the right people. We can pray that way every day. Lord, lead me to speak to the right person today. Someone, surely there's someone out there that you've been dealing with, someone who's looking for God, someone who is ready to receive the seed of your word into their hearts. Sometimes God will lead you to the most unlikely people. You know, the life of the party, who seems like he doesn't have a care in the world and has no interest in anything. But the Lord sees him at night weeping himself to sleep because he's so lost and so lonely and so broken. You know, people put on fronts and we can't tell what's going on in their lives, but God sees them 24/7 and he sees their hearts, and he knows. He knows who's ready. And we've been surprised sometimes. The last person in the world you would have thought would have become a Christian responded to the gospel faster than other people that we expected a better response. And so here we see the Holy Spirit sending the right person at the right time. God has a time. And we need to be led by the Spirit. And those that were filled with his Spirit were in the place to be directed by him. And then the last one is the one that our sister Minnie called to our attention in Acts chapter 16. And it says verse 4, I guess there. 14. Yeah, that's it. Okay. Who wants to read that? Acts 16 and verse 14.
And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened.
Okay. I've always been blessed when I read that, whose heart the Lord opened. The Lord opened her heart. And she listened, was attentive to what Paul had to say, and she was receptive, and she found the Lord that day in her house, and God began a wonderful work there in Philippi, I guess it was, or Thyatira here. And then in that region. But it was God that opened her heart. We need to pray that way. We have loved ones that we want to see saved, and they seem so closed. But you know, God can open their hearts. And if we can do nothing else, we can pray that way and pray, God, send your Spirit to open their hearts to receive your word and to receive Christ. Praise God. God can melt the hardest heart. God can break and find entrance into those that are so hard against him. And so, as we go to prayer tonight, maybe we'll lead out in prayer for our loved ones, and we can pray, Lord, first of all, send the Holy Spirit to bring conviction into their hearts. Lord, make them to see that they need the Savior. Make them to see that they're lost. Make them to see that this world has nothing to offer them, and that Jesus is stretching out his hands of love to them. God, make them to feel the guilt of their sin and make them troubled over their condition, so that they don't want to continue to live that way, but they're going to seek relief, and they're going to seek help, and they're going to reach out to you the best they know how. And we pray, Lord, that you'll send someone anointed to minister to them. Bring them under the anointed preaching of the Word of God. It's not always preaching. Maybe it's just someone witnessing to them and just opening their heart and speaking. But they're under the anointing, and the words are going and having a deep effect upon their lives. You know, God has his people everywhere. And God doesn't always choose to use you to minister to that person, but maybe they can take it better from someone else. And so we ought to pray, Lord, you know where they are, and send someone to them. Maybe they'll turn on the radio and hear someone preaching under the anointing. Maybe they'll turn on the television. Maybe someone will approach them and speak to them and hand them a tract, and it will affect them. Signs and wonders. There are some that are sick, and sometimes God heals people before he saves them. You know, it's not always it has to be after you're saved then you get healed. Or certainly in the Bible we read often the case was that the person got healed, and as a result of their healing they opened their hearts to the Lord and found the Lord. And so we can pray that God will meet them in whatever miraculous way that he chooses and they may have need of. Send the right person to them at the right time. Lord, maybe they're not ready to get saved right now, but Lord, prepare their hearts, and when the time is right, send the right person to them. And then the last thing we can pray is, Lord, open their heart. Melt that hard heart and open them up to the gospel. They seem to have no interest whatsoever. They even seem to be opposed to the things of God. But by your Spirit, you can open their hearts, and you can make them receptive and hungry, and you can bring about that change. Praise God. And so here we see the ministry of the Holy Ghost to prepare hearts to receive Christ. And we've experienced it personally ourselves, and now we want to pray that the Spirit will work in others as he did in us. Sometimes people say, if God saved me, he can save anybody. And you know, it's true. He can. He can save anybody. And so let's pray and have faith and believe that God's Spirit will move in these days. All over the world, the Spirit is moving, revealing Jesus to hungry hearts. And so we want to believe God to do that. Praise God.